of life, honed in love, created before the universe was imagined, and in whose imagination the universe was created. Word of grace, breathed into life by love, known anew each day and each day renewed by love. Word of light, kindled by love that buries the darkness in the light and whose light is stronger than all darkness. In this love we gather and pause our living to breathe again in the space made by love, to touch us and know us and hold us through forgiveness and back to life again. In such a space, let us lay down the shadows we carry that dull our lives and those of others. Let us lay down the hurt we bring that limits us and the well-being of others. Let us lay down the words we have said that have affected our relationships, reduced them, making them more fragile. In doing so, may we pick up love that might call us, redeem us, renew us in time with patience. Word of life, made of all love, may you continue to change us, heal us, transform us to be who you long us to be. Well, good morning, everyone. A very warm welcome to you all this morning, and a very special welcome to little Duncan down here at the front and his family, as Duncan comes to be baptised later in the service and welcomed into the fellowship of the church. You're all very, very welcome. It's lovely to have you with us. A welcome to any visitors. If you're here for the first time, or maybe you've only been once or twice and maybe haven't made your way through to the hall after the service for teas and coffees, you'd be very, very welcome to come and join us through there too. And a welcome to those who might be listening online or on the CD later on in the week. The order of service has quite a number of intimations. You can always tell when there's lots of intimations because the print gets smaller. And there are quite a lot of intimations in there this week, so I'm going to leave you to read most of them yourselves, just highlight one or two. We have Messy Church this Thursday afternoon. At 3:30, we start serving refreshments, and then around 4:00, the activities will begin, and we're finished by 6:00. As always, a welcome to anyone who would like to come along to that. And just a wee reminder that next Saturday evening, we have the next of our film nights, and the film we're going to be showing then is Remember the Titans. It's a great movie. So if any of you would like to come along for that, it's 7:00 at the Kirk Centre. But I will leave you to read everything else there, because there's quite a lot to get through. We are here this morning to worship God. Love comes first, before fame, before wealth, before our names, before gifts, before worship, before today, before now, before anything. Love comes first. So let us love God as God first loved us. Let us worship God. And we begin by singing, perhaps an odd choice, you might think, for a March Sunday. but let's begin by singing 316 in your hymn books, Love Came Down at Christmas.
Thank you.
please join me as we come to God in prayer. Lord God, whose name and whose very essence is love, we have seen glimpses of your love in other people, some who have cared for us and allowed us the privilege of caring for them, some about whom we have read and heard, whose selflessness and courage must surely come from you. But nowhere has your love been seen more clearly than in Jesus Christ, your Son, in his living and his dying and his presence with us still. He too had love at the very centre of his being. Everything he said and did had love at its core. And that was both his glory and his downfall. Such intensity of goodness puts us to shame. Such concentration of love is more than we can bear. And so we betray and deny the one we most want to serve. And still, he holds us in love. Still, he entrusts us with the impossible task of loving as we have been loved. Gracious God, we have let him down at every turn, just as he knew that we would. One thing only he asked of us, that we love one another. Our divisions and rivalries speak of our failure and give lie to all the fine words we say about love's transforming power. We need to live it before we can share it. We need to let the barriers down and allow ourselves to be forgiven. We need to take the risk of believing that we are actually loved and worth loving. Then, only then, will his love be able to heal and change us. Then and only then will we be able to keep his new commandment, because love will be part of our being as we are part of him, and your glory will shine in us as it did in him. Hear us now as we join our voices and our hearts in the words that Jesus taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We're going to be thinking during the weeks of Lent about love, and love in all its forms. So I brought with me this morning some things that I might use the word to say I love. And there's a wee story behind them all. But what I was hoping is that perhaps over the next few weeks, other people, old and young, might bring things that they say they love, and then be willing to say a little bit about why they've brought that item. So would you manage to do that? Do you think, Fraser, you could come up with something over the next few weeks to take in and show us? Something that you're really very fond of, and you might even use the word love to describe. Well, I've got three things with me this morning that I wanted to share with you. And there's a little story behind each one. The first one is a photograph of my family. And it's a special photograph because it was taken the night of my ordination. And it's got my husband, my children, and my parents in it. And I just love this photo. And it sits in the shelf in my study up at the manse. And I glance at it every now and again and have such happy memories of what was a really special night. So that's something that, you know, when I was packing up to come to Cultsilver just over a year ago, was one of the things I put in my special box, the box of things that I was going to look after and take with me, was one of the first things to be unpacked from that box. The second item I want to show you was also in that special box. This is a Rory Award. Does anybody know what a Rory Award is? Anybody ever been on Haven Holidays, or Haven Hall? We went up to Granny's Heel and Hame on holiday one year. And the children went along when they were about, I think they must have been about 8 and 7 maybe, along to Rory's Club during the week. And at the end of the week, there was a family night and there was a prize giving. Now, Neil and I were sitting chatting to a woman that we knew whose children had also been there during the week as they were making these awards. And the first award, there was two awards, the first award was for the good sport. And this was for the person been along at the club during the week that had been a really good sport, had really tried hard and done really well at what they did. And this was awarded to some one little girl. So we weren't really paying far too much attention. When they announced the second Rory Award was for the best behaved child during the club during the week. So Neil and I just carried on talking. And what was really lovely about it was they said, but we're not going to award it to one child, we're going to award it to two children. And so this sits on my shelf to remind me that at one time in their childhood, my children behaved themselves. So that's a special thing, just a reminder of a really special holiday that we had, and that once upon a time they did actually behave. Now at the age of 27 and 25, I'm not quite sure. And the third thing I brought with me is a book. And if it's one of my all-time favourite books. Apart from the Bible, if I was told I could take one other book, I was doing that Desert Island Discs thing, and I was allowed one book, I would take Captain Corelli's Mandolin with me. Has anybody else read it? It is just the most magnificent of books. It's got war in it, it's got love in it, it's got tragedy in it, it's just got everything. But it's got Kefalonia in it, more importantly. Anybody been to Kefalonia? A few people. It is the one place, if somebody said to me, you can go one more trip, where would you go? And I would be on Auntie Sama's beach in Kefalonia with a cocktail in my hand. It is just absolutely beautiful. So this book is really special. It was given to me by someone really special as well. And so it's really something I treasure very much. And we all probably have things like that in our lives. One of the things I'm trying to do this during Lent is give up 40 items. Fiona had posted something on the Facebook page about the suggestion we put every day put something different into a box or a bag, and at the end of Lent, take it to the local charity shop. Oh my goodness me, I thought I'm going to do this. So every morning I'll be opening my wardrobe and going, what else, what can I put in today? And I just know as Lent goes on, it's going to get harder and harder and harder because we attach memories to things, don't we? And but it's hopefully going to be a good opportunity for a clear out. So if you've not started that and fancy giving that a go, that's a really great thing to do. I've got a bag sitting in my bedroom, and every day I'm going to pop something different. Not all going to be clothes, I don't think, because I really will struggle by the end of Lent. But maybe a few bits and pieces, a few books from a bookshelf, a few ornaments from around the house, things that I might be willing to give up, but without too much of a struggle, I hope. So if any of you were willing over the next few weeks to bring in something to share with us, I'd be really, really interested in doing it this time together in the service. That's when we would share that. So that's fine. Well, we're going to sing again. And this time our hymn is 359, He Came Down That We May Have Love.
That we may have love. He came down that we may have love. Our Old Testament reading this morning comes from the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. And the heading for this section is called Advice to Young Men. Never go off loyalty and faithfulness. Tie them round your neck. Write them on your heart. If you do this, both God and man will be pleased with you. And our New Testament reading comes from the book of John. And John chapter 13, reading from verse 31. The new commandment. After Judas had left, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man's glory is revealed. Now God's glory is revealed through him. And if God's glory is revealed through him, then God will reveal the glory of the Son of Man himself, and he will do so at once. My children, I shall not be with you very much longer. You will look for me, but I tell you now what I told the Jewish authorities. You cannot go where I am going, and now I give you a new commandment. Love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. If you have love for one another, then everyone will know that you are my disciples." And Jesus predicts Peter's denial. "Where are you going, Lord?" Simon Peter asked him. "You cannot follow me now where I am going," answered Jesus, "but later you will follow me." "Lord, why can't I follow you now?" asked Peter. "I'm ready to die for you." And Jesus answered, "Are you really ready to die for me? I am telling you the truth. Before the cock crows, you will say three times that you do not know me."
Thank you, Lillian, for those readings. We stand to sing again, and this time our hymn is 549, How Deep the Father's Love for Us, hymn 549. I want to begin with a wee story. Charlie Brown was in love. Linus knew it because Charlie Brown wasn't feeling very well lately. His stomach was upset. He was distracted. And Linus had seen Charlie looking over at the little red-headed girl on the school bus one day. Even more important than that, one day Linus saw Charlie playing the daisy game. You know the daisy game? He loves me. He loves me not. He loves me. He loves me not. Linus figured out what was going on, and so he approached Charlie and spoke to him bluntly. You like the little red-headed girl, don't you, Charlie Brown? Charlie was so upset. He was flabbergasted. He was embarrassed. Now another person knew that Charlie Brown was in love with a girl. Well, that same day, Charlie Brown went to school, and the teacher asked Charlie to come up in the front of the whole classroom and read his report that he'd written to all the kids in the class. Charlie was taken a bit by surprise and a bit upset. He was flustered and frustrated and frazzled, and he fumbled his papers around to find his report. And in his frustration, Charlie finally decided to read the first page, the top page, regardless of what it said. And so Charlie read aloud, "Dear little red-headed girl, do you like me? Yes or no? Charlie Brown." Oh no, he'd read the wrong paper. The whole class laughed at him, and there is nothing worse than having a whole class laugh at you. Well, the next day was the last day of school, and Charlie couldn't go all summer long without knowing if the little red-headed girl liked him. He had to know. It would be a long, long summer if he didn't know. So what would he do? Charlie made his plan. He would go early the next morning and get on the school bus and ask her directly if she liked him or not. And so he set his alarm clock early so as not to miss the bus. It was 4 o'clock in the morning that the alarm went off, and he felt like he'd been run over by a herd of elephants, but he got up, went to the bus stop, and was there by 4:30 and waited on a bench. While sitting on the bench waiting for the bus, Charlie dozed and then fell fast asleep, only to be wakened by the roar of the bus engine as the school bus pulled away from the bus stop. He saw the flash of the little red-headed girl's flaming red hair in the back window of the school bus as it pulled away. Oh no, rats, he'd missed the bus, he'd failed again. Charlie finally got to school, was late and got into trouble, but he was in the same class as the little girl all day. Suddenly, the day was over and he had one chance left, only one, the ride home on the school bus. The school bell rang, he shot out of the school and he stood there in line as the hordes of kids kept pushing and shoving and crowding around him, but he squeezed onto the bus. Where was the red-headed little girl? The bus started to pull away from the curb, and there was the little red-headed girl there still on the curb, waving to him or someone on the bus. Oh no, he'd failed again, another crushing blow. In the confusion, he put his hands in his pocket, and he felt a bit of paper that shouldn't have been there. Somebody must have bumped into him and put a note in his pocket. So he opened the note and it said, "Dear Charlie, I like you, Charlie Brown, the little red-headed girl." Charlie was so happy. He jumped, he danced, he clicked his heels in the air and he read the note again. "I like you, Charlie Brown." Charlie felt so good inside, and now all summer he would be happy because he knew he was liked by that little red-headed girl. And this classic story about life is a parable, a story that has two levels of meaning. The story is about Charlie Brown, but more importantly, we know that the story is about us. It's about you and me. The story is an answer to an important question in life. Am I liked? Am I loved? Do you like me? Do you love me? It's so simple and so basic and yet so important to all of us. And many of you remember, I realised from the rumble that went round when I talked about it, that the daisy game, when you pull those petals off one by one, does he love me? Does he not? Does he love me? He loves me not. The point is that we still play that game today. Am I loved? Am I not? Am I liked? Am I not? Do you like me? Do you love me? Do you respect me? And in the game of life, you come to the conclusion that you are liked or loved or admired by a person. And then you click your heels and dance because you know you are loved. Or on the other hand, if you know that you're not liked, loved, or appreciated by that important person or group, you don't feel like dancing. Jesus said, "And now I give you a new commandment, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. If you have love for one another, then everyone will know that you are my disciples." The need of all human beings is to know that we are liked, loved, and appreciated. Love one another. We as human beings have many needs in life. We humans have fundamental needs that we have to be met in order for us to survive. We have these very basic needs of air, water, food, and shelter. But I'd like to suggest that this morning that we have another fundamental need, the need to experience love, God's love, the need to receive love, and the need to give love. We all have a need to experience genuine love, that is, to receive love and to give love. And it's always in that sequence, to receive, first receive love, and then we give love. You can't give what you haven't first received. This need to experience love, to receive and to give love is as necessary as water, air, food, and shelter. You can't survive as a human being without water, air, food, and shelter. And likewise, as human beings, we cannot survive nor reach our full potential unless we experience love, to give and receive love. We have been designed by God to love, to experience love, to receive and give love. That is our God-given design. It's the way that God has made us. We are made in the image of God, we are like God, and we have been designed to love. And it's only then when we reach our full potential as human beings, only when we experience love, giving and receiving love, do we become fully human. But what is this love? Love is not easy to define. Shakespeare wrote 150 sonnets trying to capture love, and after 150 sonnets later, he still hadn't managed to fully define it. There are some things in life that are so mysterious and so big, you cannot capture them even in words. And that's the way it is with love. Love is so big. Love is so mysterious that you cannot capture it all in words. But when you see it, you know it. And love comes in many forms. Over the next few weeks, as we travel through Lent, we'll be exploring the different forms of love found in the Bible. Starting next week with Eros, the attraction between two people that finds its fulfillment in romantic and sexual relationships. Oh yes, that's in the Bible, as we will discover. And I should warn you that next week's service comes with an X rating. We'll then move on to think about philia, the love found in friendship. And then we'll consider storge, the love found in family or community. And finally, we'll think about agape love, self-giving love. Four different kinds of love, all talked about in the Bible and all part of the love that God has shown us. Today, we sit with Jesus' command to love one another. But not just to love one another as he has loved us. Jesus, when he spoke these words, was with his disciples. They had been sharing the Passover meal, a meal he had begun by washing the feet of his disciples. Peter had resisted having his feet washed by Jesus. He didn't think Jesus should be lowering himself by doing this. If anything, they should be washing Jesus' feet. Peter eventually relents and Jesus washes his feet. In the process of the feet washing, Jesus quietly mentions that one of his disciples was not clean, despite the symbolic feet washing. And he goes on to predict betrayal before revealing who will betray him. And it's at that point that we enter the story and join the remaining disciples, just as Judas leaves the room. Jesus' command is as much for us as it was for his disciples, and it's a tough one. The inclusion of the short discussion between Jesus and Peter is an illustration of this. Easy to say you will love, but hard to do. Bert Bacharach wrote these words, "What the world needs now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing that there's just too little of. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. Not just for some, but for everyone." And boy, does the world need some love. The love that Jesus showed and the love we as his followers are commanded to show. One story from the news of the last few weeks that took a tragic turn this weekend is the story of Shamima Begum. Her story has divided people, and I understand that, I sincerely do. She left this country to join the Islamic State community, and many saw this and see this as a betrayal. Why should she expect to be allowed back in when Islamic State are the enemy and have perpetrated so much evil in the world and caused the death of so many innocents? I understand this argument, but I don't accept it. Shamima was a 15-year-old girl when she was groomed and persuaded to leave the UK. At 15, she was married off to a man 8 years her senior that she'd only just met. 4 years later, aged just 19, she is in a refugee camp, and each one of the three children she has given birth to has died. That's what Shamima's story is if you strip away the Islamic State label. And my heart hurts at this tragic tale. 19, and has already carried three babies through pregnancy, only for each one to die. A world of love would reach out to Shamima. A world of love would have taken care of her and her babies. A broken life could still be made whole if we can show her some love instead of hate. And Shamima's story is just one sorry tale. There are many, many more. Children held in cages on the US-Mexican border. A surge in knife crime here in the UK. A growing need for food banks to feed families here in Aberdeen, a war in Yemen causing so many innocent deaths, families divided over Brexit, the list just goes on and on and on. You see, to me, the biggest threat in our world today is a lack of love. So much easier to throw scorn on people we don't agree with or don't understand. So much easier to be critical bystanders. So much easier to ignore what is happening than involve ourselves. As Christians, we should be better than that. Jesus' insistence that his followers should love one another as constantly and as generously as he had loved them is as relevant now as it ever was, and for exactly this reason. Christians are once again living in a minority situation with some opposition and widespread indifference to the gospel we claim to live by. But no one's going to pay the slightest attention to the fine words we say about love if they look at us and don't see love in our words and actions. God sent Jesus to show us that we are loved, and this love changed everything. It changes us. It empowers us to love others. And even when we struggle to love, often for compelling reasons, yet God continues to love us and work through our lives to bless this world God has created and continues to sustain. Jesus knew what Judas would do, and still he lowered himself to the ground and washed his feet. Love as Jesus loved. What the world needs now is love, sweet love, not just for some, but for everyone. Amen. We continue to worship this time through our offering. Let us pray. Loving God, in Jesus, you gave us far more than just wise teaching, healing hands, and example to follow. He did not just talk about goodness, he was good to his very core. He did not just speak about forgiveness, he forgave those who hurt him most. He did not just teach about loving, he loved us and let nothing stand in love's way. What can we offer that would not be an insult to such absolute self-giving grace? Certainly not just money, nor a portion of our talents and time. Nothing less than our love will do, and we offer it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Our hymn is 358, The Great Love of God is Revealed in the Son, hymn 358. To invite Claire and Ali and the family to come and join me up outside the font. Today is a very special day for this family. Little Duncan is only a few months old, a life just beginning. And we come now to celebrate yet another new beginning for Duncan as he comes to be baptised and to begin a new life in the family of the church. Children have a special place in the church, for Jesus said, "Let the children come to me and do not stop them, because the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." Remember this, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it. And just as Jesus himself was baptized in the River Jordan, today Duncan is to be baptized and welcomed into the fellowship and the love of God and to the church. And we are the lucky ones, we're the fortunate ones, because we get to share this moment. But as witnesses, we also have a responsibility in welcoming Duncan and to play our part as supporters and companions in his life's journey. The first child of love, Jesus dwelt among us, and in the strength of the Holy Spirit who touched him and blessed him. And it is he who now draws us to the font, and it is he who, through the simple and yet at the same time complicated act, releases us from sin and welcomes us into a new life in his name. We are promised living water to wash us clean as we become children of God. With the help of the Holy Spirit, our lives are watered and refreshed so that we might flourish and be free to walk and run in the free abandon and creativity of God's love. So I have some questions for you now. You bring your little one cradled in your arms and under your loving gaze of the family and friends to be baptized into the love story of Jesus. As you bring Duncan, do you confess a faith by which you live? The Christian faith, unique in all its mystery and wonder, of God with us through Jesus Christ, who has saved us from darkness and brought us to new life and new love. Do you promise to tell the story of a world forever changed by the birth of Jesus Christ to Duncan, and so with God's help, create a space for him to grow into a fuller understanding of God's love for him? Now, Oliver and Ailsa, I've got a question for you. Are you listening? Yeah. Do you promise to be a good brother and sister to Duncan and to love him and play with him?
Yeah.
Good. I'm glad about that. Oliver told me earlier he was going to have a think about this. And can I ask you, as Duncan's godmother, do you promise to support Claire and Ali as in the promises that they have just taken? Can I invite those who are able in the congregation to please stand as a sign of the support that you are willing to offer Ali, Claire, and their beautiful wee boy, Duncan, and to do so through prayer, service, and fellowship and love. And if you could repeat these lines after me. We have grown in our faith.
We have grown in our faith.
In Christ Jesus.
In Christ Jesus.
Throughout our lives. And
in these moments,
we proclaim it anew
as we welcome Duncan.
Please be seated. Let us pray. Lord, as we bring little Duncan to the waters of life, we ask your blessing on him and his family. May they always know your love and live in the hope that is promised to each of us through the birth of Jesus at Christmas. May they remember this day as a special one, one that they celebrate as a complete family surrounded by those that know and love them. And may we, the witnesses to this moment, be blessed too. And may we share in the hope of this day and help us to remember our part in being the supporters and encouragers of this beautiful family. Our prayer is one of thanks for Ali, Claire, Oliver, Ailsa, and Duncan for their continued happiness and the blessing they are to us. Come now, Holy Spirit, transform this moment, transform this child, and transform this place with your presence in this sacrament. Amen.
Can I get a little bit? Can you get to come to me? Oh, did you hear what your mummy just said?
Okay, you're going to sit there. Now you can see everybody. Duncan, before you were even conceived and before you will even understand our world and your world, your life was changed forever. And the arrival of the child Jesus who lived among us, growing in life like you and in God like no other, taking himself to the cross, rising to new life, which is ours forever, turning the dark days into blessed days. And so, Duncan, at the command of Jesus and the one in whom we love in life, we bring you to these waters of life. And I baptize you, Duncan Alexander MacDonald, in the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now, as the world is forever changed in the arrival and baptism of this child, a new world and kingdom has dawned, and we welcome little Duncan as our own, as God's own, as a child of this church. Amen. Now, could I ask you to accept these gifts from us as a church to little Duncan? It's a Bible and a wee certificate, just something to remember this day by. And maybe your big brother and sister will be able to read some of these stories to you, because they've just promised to be a good big brother and sister. Anyway. I'm going to take Duncan for a wee wander around as we sing "The Lord Bless You and Keep You." Okay. Oh, we're going to go say hello.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord lift his face to shine upon you and be gracious.
He's a happy wee boy. Right, will we wander back down here? Stop and say hello. To say hello. Oh, all these faces, all these strange faces to say hello to. He's just lovely. I'm going to hang on to him. Let me just keep you here, right? I'm going to keep you here, right? Oh, do this. Made it. Let's stand and sing our closing hymn. 561, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. We go now into the world. The new season of Lent, a new beginning, a new colour to everything, and share the news in everything new. Love comes first. May we live renewed by that love in this world. And the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest with each one of us this day and forevermore.